This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Steve, Michael, Don, and Peter, how are you doing on this Monday?
You're my Don King, man. You're my promoter. You keep it going. That's out of
absolutely.
Point.
But you know what? I don't even have to sell it because it's real. It's real.
Attaboy. What's up, boys?
Do you think that Russell Wilson tried to do a bit too much yesterday? Because that was not a great Russell Wilson game.
He can do all that, right? And how many times? I saw a stat yesterday where 10-3 in one possession games, and I mean, he's magic. So yes, you can get caught and be human. And if you notice that last interception in overtime, there was a nobody. I mean, it was a complete miscommunication. And it's just one of those. I mean, you saw Russell right afterwards, like pound his chest. It was me. I own it. You know Russell. He'll take every inch of it. That's why they're good. That's why they're going to be good. And what's interesting to me about that game is that game felt like whoever has the ball last. That both quarterbacks felt like they could score. They could get down field goal range. That confidence you had when you played when you had a Manning Brady game. Back in the day, like these guys are, no one's out of this ball game. You're talking about a second year 5'8 kid that scabs around. That's how much the game has changed. I keep telling you guys every week, but my gosh, it's crazy how many yards are out there for quarterbacks and how the game is. Those are future stars. One is a star right now, maybe MVP, and the next one is 5'8 and probably will be the MVP in the next couple of years because that's the game.
And then you've got talk about back and forth with the Bengals and the Browns, and Baker Mayfield's been frustrating, but that game-winning throw is as good as anything he's ever done. So we know he can do it. It's just finding the consistency, right?
Yeah, and I also think what the Browns have, and this is a gut feel I have with Stefanski, but this is a guy that's going to, for the first time in a long time, bring the substantiveness. Is that a word? I'll go with it. Substantiveness of the Browns. Like they're going to be good. They're going to be well coached. They're going to play hard each week. You're going to get the most out of them. And I think that's why the referendum now is on Baker. Like all the anxiety, all the crap that's been going on the last few years has been around the team, coaching and the carousel and everything else, and it hasn't been able to kind of really focus in on a referendum on the players. And now it is. And so I think the focus is going to be in the future because they're going to play solid football. I really believe that. And they have good players. It's going to be about Baker. Can you be consistent? Can you be somebody that we can count on? It's not reckless. He plays reckless. Sometimes it feels like I can take care of that. Well, no, you can't. You're not good enough yet. And so it's kind of understanding where he fits and what he can and can't do. And as he tries to figure that out, I'm hopeful that there's enough there to really be one, be a great player instead of just a good player.
In the second half of yesterday's game, Steve, the Jets had 4 total yards of offense. Can you even fathom that?
No. That's like UTEP, BYU UTEP back in the day, I 73-0. No, that's bad. It's bad, and I honestly, especially when you're an offensive-minded coach, it's just – there's nothing else. What are you going to say? It's just terrible. And that's – look, we're all professionals. For me, it's easy to talk and hold people accountable because you're getting paid a lot of money to do a job, and you should be doing it really as an – it should be excellence. And if it's not excellence, you just say it. And when it's really poor, it's like you shouldn't be doing that job. I mean, that's just – it's not hard to say.
Is that on Sam or is that on the whole situation?
It's on everybody. How many times we talked about even Sam needs to show that it's not going to be 4 yards. Hey, we're not very good. We're kind of, everyone's pointing fingers and things are kind of devolving around me, but it's not going down this way, boys. And we're going to show, it's the old Monty Python, right? When they cut his arm off, I'll kick you to death. They cut his legs off, I'll bite you to death. Like there's just this, that was a comedy routine, but really, in my mind, you can see that from people. And the fact that Sam doesn't show that tells me something about Sam. Even in the devastation, the desert that he's finding himself in the Jets, it does reflect on the player as well.
And so I'm trying to find ways to defend him or what can be damaged. And we talk so much about the psychological game. Is it just a lack of confidence? Like at this point, because between the injuries and the offensive line and the lack of talent and maybe being having the worst coach in football, yes, some of it's on him. Is that some being taken away by because he just does not have confidence or any conviction because of how much he's been beat up psychologically over the last 3 years?
But
is that fair?
It takes a ton of grit to play. And the guys who make it look so natural, you're like, oh, yeah, of course. But when the guys are struggling, you're like, what's wrong with this picture? It's usually because someone lacks the grit to get through all of it. And there's a lot to get through. And look, Peyton Manning, when he came in, remember, oh, you can't win this, you can't do that, right? The grit that he had to show to actually get on top of it and become a great player is part of what we're talking about. So the idea that Sam's not getting kind of through it and showing the grit, that's a sign that they, because look, there's a lot of guys that don't have that grit, that don't have the ability to do it. It's not unheard of. That's why there's only a handful of humans that do this job. So the fact is that we thought that someone's going to be spectacular at this job, and they're not. Shouldn't shock anybody. There's just so few people that can do it.
Were you in Cam Newton yesterday? Did you see a guy who's maybe starting to not believe that he can do it?
That's the Cam that got him pushed out of Carolina. You know, a disinterested Cam. You know, where it just feels. I know he's interested, but it's just the perception when he gives off that vibe that like I'm. You know, I'm not interested here. I'm not really focused. I don't have the fight or the grit, right? It's like I'm not saying you don't have it. I'm just saying you're not giving the perception of it. That's for sure. And in quarterback, perception is reality. You've got to show that. And so the idea is that you're just going to let it devolve around you. I've said it twice now. Sorry, but it's like it just around everything's kind of fading around you. You have to show an ability to pick it up. It might go. We might get beat. But we're not going to get beat 33-6. And I think that's when you get replaced. You lose your job when it looks like that. And they look like the Patriots look like the Jets. I mean, they got throttled in every place you can get throttled. I've never remembered the Patriots getting beat like that.
I think you have to go back to the first year with the Patriots when Belichick was there. Now, let me ask you this, because you know the mindset of a great athlete. And when you ask them, they're going to say the politically correct thing. Is Tom Brady in Tampa today smiling and giggling about the fact that the Patriots got beaten that bad?
There's not a smiling and giggling, but there's everyone wants to feel that that they're needed or that they're wanted or they're important. And
I know, I do.
Everyone, it's human nature, right? You want to have a sense that you know it matters, and it's always hurts. When you leave a place and they keep winning, you're like, well, wait a second. I thought I was important. Well, you were, but doesn't mean that we can't move on without you. And I think in many ways, that's what we have. You know, Tom, when they left, it was very much a drama around, was it Bill or was it Tom? Well, we know it's both. We know it's also Robert Kraft. Like, it's a combination of all those people that have made it happen. But there was something about how it went down. That just that sense that, maybe Tom had intimated that he wanted to finish career in San Francisco, and then maybe they just called up Kyle and gave him Garoppolo to close that off, which is weird to think about. But it's like there's enough around it that creates a little drama that I feel like both of them are trying to make sure that they're the ones that is most important that why it happened. And certainly Tom can feel today like not only do I have an upper hand, they're not going to get this fixed. And I have a great defense and a lot of players around me, more than I've ever had. I might be able to pull something off here at 43 and really kind of seal the deal.
Is he better than you thought he was going to be right now?
Tom?
Yeah.
No, Tom's really smart. I mean, that's a stupid to even say. I mean, everyone gets that. But he's like in the game where there's so many free yards and he can go get them and he can be kind of imperial about it because he's not going to be under attack or threat. Because he can't take the hits. Remember, we talked about the middle of the field being unpatrolled. All that. He knows that this is I can be 43 and pull this off. Now give me some guys. Give me two tight ends and three legit receivers. I mean, top line receivers that are big and strong. They'll fight in the end zone. Because that's where it all happens is between, not from the in between the 30s, but down in the red zone where you might make big throws and people are coming all over. I think it's just getting started. This defense is going to get better. And I think that offense is going to get better. by the end of the season, unless something weird happens, they're in the thick of a Super Bowl run. Mm.
Would you have messed with Antonio Brown, bring him into that situation, which is a pretty good situation?
When we're really, the 49ers, when we were really, most of the time we're really put together, but those teams that are set, when Ronnie Lott's running the defense or Tim McDonald and the locker room's completely buttoned up, everything, you know, we got 10, 15 guys that just run the place. We run it, we don't, the coach doesn't run it, the owner doesn't run it, the players run it in the locker room. The best locker rooms in the world, the championship locker rooms, we can handle something a little off. You know, we brought in Lawrence Phillips. Remember, we were bringing in guys, and sometimes they'd work, and sometimes they didn't work. But it didn't affect the team because we were so kind of buttoned up. And so if we had a team like that and they wanted to try to mess with Antonio Brown, well, I'm all right with that. But because I don't think it can mess with a team. Teams that aren't buttoned up, no way.
All right, Daniel Jones stumbles on what would have been a 90-yard touchdown run. Did the same thing happen to you in that Minnesota run? And
no,
what happened?
I got it. Here's okay. I'm going to tell you that this is the truth. I would never lie to you. That game was so emotional. I replaced Joe Montana. It was a huge thing. If I won the game, I felt like maybe I could stay in and take the job. I mean, all these stars in my eyes. And so I was so kind of fatigued. Literally, my legs quit. Like I had no more steps. If they said, go run another 5 yards, I would have been, I was on my face. So it wasn't that I was, Daniel just got ahead of himself. You could see it. It's like
His
feet didn't keep up with his body. And that's funny to me, and I totally understand it. I'm sure I've been there. But mine was different. Mine was complete collapse. Like I had no more steps to give.
And you're lucky it was where it was, right? So you're saying if the end zone was 20 yards farther,
20,
you would have fell.
Maybe I find it. Maybe I find this miraculous energy to save the day. I don't know, but all I know is I got in the end zone somehow.
It pains me to say this because I hate when someone on my team does something terrible. But the John Bostic hit yesterday on Andy Dalton was awful. And terrible. It looks like the NFL's not going to suspend him. I don't really understand that, Steve.
That does not make sense to me. You've made safety one of your pillars, and it's really worked in many ways. I mean, those ferocious hits have disappeared. The idea that a defender is now going to leave his feet and attack with his head is gone. I mean, it really has worked. And so here's one of the pillars, and this is one of the things when you tell quarterbacks, we're going to protect you, and if you slide, we will protect you. Well, he slid, and I hate sliding for this one reason, because you're completely exposed, and he got literally knocked out with a blatant elbow. You cannot play football. You can't play for a while. I don't know how long. It's kind of like swinging a helmet. We saw what happened with Myles Garrett last year.
Is there any way to justify it, the decision? Like, I don't get what he could have been thinking.
No. No, it doesn't matter. You can try to justify it. It doesn't matter. In the end, you swung a helmet, you swung the arm and knocked a guy out, you got to go.
Amazing. You have a Monday Night Football game tonight, the Bears and the Rams. And maybe I'm way off on this, Steve, and we're talking with Steve Young here on the Michael Kay Show. The Bears look to me like the most average 5-1 team I've ever seen. I don't look at them as one of the great teams in the NFL. How are they doing it?
They've won a couple of close ball games. They come back on a couple. They've got a better and better defense. Their defense is now going to be in the top five in the NFC, you know, like a better half, maybe even better than that. So the defense is not going to go away. The problem is Nick Foles is now going to have to drag around one of the worst running games in the league. So they're 5-1, but they cannot keep that up with one of the worst running games in the league. When Nick Foles was great and the Eagles went on the Super Bowl run, what were they ranked running? Third. So you're on it right here. You're absolutely on it. It is a little bit of a facade. If they can start running the football, I can see this kind of turning into something interesting. But without that, there's no way Nick Foles can carry all that water. If the defense becomes once in a generation ferocious like the Denver Broncos of 5 years ago or 6 years ago, maybe so. But other than that, I think you're right on the Bears.
Are the Rams a Super Bowl level team or below?
I thought so until last week. They need that innovative. They got to be in the top five pass rushers in the league. We know we have Aaron Donald, but I doesn't feel like he's got the guys around him to really do it. And then that offense is not nearly as explosive as the 49ers. What they're trying to copy or Sean McVay would tell you I was first at the innovation and Kyle was second, but it doesn't matter. They're both spinning around innovation in a really unique, interesting way. But he's not getting the results from Goff that the 49ers are getting. You saw yesterday with the 49ers. I mean, they took very few risks in that 33-6 drubbing offensively. I mean, that's just amazing that they could take very few risks and have such a productive game and make that defense look so bad. And that is really offensive innovation at its best.
You said something earlier that, you know, we kind of let go. I'd never heard it before. With Garoppolo, you think there's a possibility the Patriots sent him to the 49ers to take off that dream of Tom?
I'm just saying, look, it's weird to me. Uh-huh. It's just weird.
Because they gave him away.
The story goes is that he picked up the phone and called the 49ers. Like, why? No one's ever explained that to me. Why would you pick up the phone and just give him away? Like, it makes no sense.
So you're trying to connect the dots, and you know that Tom wanted to end there.
Well, he made it clear. That's where I wanted to. We didn't come out for a year or two, but that's where I wanted to finish my career.
Right.
So maybe I'm just saying maybe he was talking about it, and maybe that I look. It's weird. It's weird that Garoppolo was basically given to San Francisco, and so it's just like you asked me about the competition amongst the guys who did it for 20 years, and why all three of them should be just saying, "Hey, it was the greatest run in sports history, and we're all part of it. And we're all great." And it just feels like maybe there's a little bit of drama that I can't explain. Like do I know anything? I know nothing other than what I see, and it just feels weird.
Well, it worked because the 49ers didn't want him. He wanted to go there. They didn't want him. That's why he ended up in Tampa.
Because they'd already got Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right.
And I think, look, they considered him. They still last year, even with going to the Super Bowl, they were thinking, they were trying, they thought about it, and at the end they faded, but it wasn't like a lack of effort to try to have a conversation around Tom. Even though Garoppolo was there, even though they went to the Super Bowl, they still talked about it.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You'll have the Giants next week, Steve. All these close games. Do they have any value? Are there any moral victories for a young team in a rebuild where they can get something out of all these close calls, or do you just chalk this up to this is what bad teams do?
No, I think there's moral victories. I think you've got to build from scratch. The team is kind of starting over. They feel like they might have the answer at quarterback, which is the question that you have to have. Now can you get a defensive line and a corner or two and go from there? And they got the back that they want. They're going to commit to for 10 years. So they're just – everything's a moral – they get – this is who – they're set. They got the coach they think that they want. They're going to get stabilized. And now everything they do that's remotely positive, let's just put it in the bank and see if we can build off of it. So, Don, I think anything that's possible to be a moral victory should be – should be money in the bank somehow.
See, there was a story in the Post Sunday, and I found it interesting where they said a couple of coaches said it's easier to coach and correct mistakes coming off a win because people are more receptive. And what Joe Judge has to do is coach and correct mistakes coming off a loss when they might not be as receptive. And Joe Judge said that's nonsense. He said we coach the same way whether we win or lose. Do you buy into that?
Well, of course, the coach is going to say that, but it's about looking people and getting people's attention. Players are humans. They got the disappointments. They don't like to be screamed at. How do you – it's like anything. It's like teaching kindergarten. Like, how do you get kids' attention for the next 5 minutes so you can actually say something that they hear? I was with my two little girls. They're 14 and 12 last night. Going to bed, I wanted to make I made a little speech about something great, like some moral import that I wanted them to know for life lesson. And I talked about it for like 3 or 4 minutes. One of them said something to me, and I'm like, well, what did I just say? And they're like, and the other one's like, I'm like, do you have any idea what I just said? I just gave you the secret to life. What did I just
right.
say?
So that it's not totally wasted. Lost. So that it's not wasted. Please tell us now what you said. Because I'll be receptive. I know Peter and Michael will.
You know how I feel about him. Anything he says is gold to me.
That's right.
I got to know what this is.
We're just talking about praying and how the spirit inside of you is like a muscle. Like, you have to work the muscle, the spiritual muscle, so that you can have better connection to heaven. That's what I was trying to give them, that sense of, like, you know, spiritual connection. You know, and they're like, "Dad, what did you say again?"
You might even be the best dad ever. It's amazing. Yeah,
this is really good stuff.
You're off the charts, great guy.
Clearly not good enough stuff, because they were both embarrassed. Like, "Dad, I was daydreaming about dance, my dance recital. I totally tuned you out."
Wow.
So yeah, but now we have it. Michael could tell his kids, and now they'll be better. If his kids turn out well, it'll be because of this moment.
One final thing before we let you go. So Dalton gets smashed by Bostic, and the coach McCarthy comes out with, "I'm disappointed in my team," essentially, for not sticking up for him. What did he want them to do? Did he want them to start a brawl? I mean, Bostic was thrown out.
We're going to talk about this on the show. There's something wrong when a team doesn't defend their player. Now, you don't go fight them, but you want an emotional reaction, right? There's something about someone taking a cheap shot and knocking out your quarterback that doesn't work. And I don't want a mosaic law where you're like, "Okay, now I'm going to go knock you out." But there is something about playing on the field that you got to go defend your guys. And to have them just stand around felt really odd to me. And I think Mike McCarthy's on to something. But the problem is Mike McCarthy doesn't realize that the part of the problem is him too.
Right.
Like, he's not resonating with his players. Like, this team is emotionally bereft. Right? They're you know, I've told you, in 20 years the Cowboys have played below their talent. But now it's like something's not right. And I think it's kind of that's that moment in time when everybody gets a glimpse into who they are as a team. And it was like, that's not a glimpse that you want to give. It's just not a positive for how the team is set up. And it really, I mean, we're going to talk about it today on the show, but it's until a head coach is empowered, like a head coach should be, it's going to be a problem.
Well, we've learned a lot today, Steve. I am going to exercise my prayer muscle tonight, because it needs to be exercised. It really does. I think it's important.
it's like working out with curls with weights, you know? You gotta
yeah. Because if you're only going to pray every once in a while, God's not going to listen.
You put me on the spot on that one. All right. You guys are great.
Sorry, I just had to know. I couldn't leave it there.
Yeah, that was a big question.
I didn't have to answer, but I had to ask.
Well, I was more worried about the fact that here I am trying to give them everything I got, and they're like, "What did you say, Dad? I missed it."
I know.
They don't realize that you're the best guest on the show. Yeah, you should tell them that.
But honestly, no joke. When everyone says anything positive about me, I'm like, "Well, you go tell my kids." Because, like, you know, you were a great player, Steve. You were tough. Like, would you go tell my kids? Because, I got nothing.
Have a good night. Enjoy the game.
See you guys. Take care. Hey, wait, what's wrong with Peter? They won. I don't hear a word.
Hey, no, listen. I'm very chipper about it, and I would love to spend some time just rubbing in the face of Cowboys fans. I'm feeling good, but...
They're in the mix. Are they in the division lead? They got to win.
But now I can't stop thinking about Ron Rivera going for two last week for no reason.
Yeah, you could have led. You could be leading the division if you hadn't gone for two. Riverboat Ron.
Right.
I know. Thanks, Steve.
Bye, Steve.
I got another moral lesson for that situation.
Oh, good one. A tease for next week. I love it.
All right. See you guys.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.